Similar to what is happening around the country and what KGNU reported has happened in Oakland, California, public property is in the process of being sold to a developer. And voicing a similar sentiment as the Oakland community, the Denver public has turned out to oppose the sale, saying that public assets should not be used to incentivize upscale market housing. A barn-raising community event took place on Saturday in Sustainability Park in downtown Denver. Barn-raising community gatherings are a centuries-old tradition in U.S. history. Neighbors helping neighbors build each other's homes and barns assured that the task requiring many hands could be completed. Hundreds gathered at one end of the park to move an evicted community garden created by the Denver urban farmers, and another group gathered at the other end to raise tiny homes.
Now, there's a symbol from Africa called the Sankofa, and that means that to know our future, we have to know our past, right? We have to look back on history to inform how we go forward in this world, right? So that's why we're starting with the information about the history of this land and the indigenous people who lived here and the process of colonization, and also more recently, what this place was 50 years ago, right? This was low-income housing projects. This was housing for people of color, housing for low-income people and poor people, and then that was displaced in 1999, when all of this housing projects all around the country at the same time started getting taken down. So this isn't just about coming out here and doing gardens. We have to deal with this unfortunate situation right now of the displacement of these three urban farms that have been growing food for people for the last 5 years here. And we want to show the resilience of our community and say, okay, we can take those down the block and we can, you know, move them into the next location. But it's also about us all coming together and envisioning, having this conversation, saying, wait a second, this isn't just about like the gears of capital. This isn't just about, you know, how the system functions. We actually have self-determination. We get to decide what our world looks like. We get to look at each other and say, okay, what do we actually want to see in this space, right? Do we want to see urban farms here? Do we want to see people housed? Do we want to see healthy watersheds? Do we want to see healthy ecological systems and healthy people and common spaces for people to be together? So that's what this is about. It's about coming out here and starting to embrace that social permaculture aspect of it. Yeah, so I want to bring Nick up here. When the housing projects got raised, what Denver did was they put in this sustainability park. And there's been three urban farms working out of here for the last 5 years, growing food and sharing that with everybody. So Nick Ruby here has been working with Produce Denver. He's going to tell you all about what they've been up to here and what we're doing today to help Produce Denver actually move to a new location for now.
So 5 years ago, Denver Housing Authority came to Denver Urban Gardens, who is the silent partner of Urban Farmers Collaborative. It's an organization that's based on three different organizations. Produce Denver, the company I work for. We do contract farming, build gardens for people, educate people about composting and other things, grow biointensive and other philosophies of gardening and farming. And then there's Greenleaf. And Greenleaf is an organization who empowers youth through leadership, and they run the whole project of farming, from ag ops to marketing. The kids run it. And Cody Meinhardt is the executive director. He tries to keep everybody together and gives them a location. And so, and the other organization is Granada Farms. Elaine Granada, but she's a 75-year-old farmer who's been farming in the city of Denver for the last 15 years. She's kind of our mentor. So this organization, the Urban Farmers Collaborative, collaborated with Denver Housing Authority to build an urban farm. We focus on food production. Although we did not know the history of the land, at first there was incredible amounts of opposition. And I do have to mention, this was supposed to be a permanent urban farm. 5 years later, a developer is going to buy the land. And even though they still say that this is supposed to be a permanent urban farm, it kind of changes. It went from not being touched to being termed mixed use, being zoned mixed use. Every month it kind of seems like, oh, now a business is going to be attached. But why we're here today is we have to move. We have to move all our soil away, all our plants away, take down our greenhouse, because November 30th, we have to be out. So I call that kind of being displaced again. We're moving everything to another farm, by the way, that's still owned by Denver Housing Authority, that we only have a year lease. So this story isn't new. what I'd like to talk about today is we really need to pressure developers, Denver Housing Authority, to focus and make urban farming as being integrated with housing. Just think if codes had it and mandated like 10% of the space has to be food production, whether it's a community garden or a greenhouse. Think how much more food we could produce. I mean, we're talking tons and tons of food. On 1 acre in Denver Public School, we produce 32,000 pounds on 1.12 acres. Think of 70, 80 acres being devoted to production farming or even gardening, if you want to call it that. There's two different farms that we're going to be locating to. Moondog Farm, which is on 22nd and Tremont. We're only looking for about 30 people to go over there. So majority of the people, if you could stay here, that'd be great. Here at Spark, we're loading the soil into the dump trailer, as many of you have already done. There's two groups that are digging up greenleaf plants and Produce Denver plants. We have to keep these separate. We're going to be digging up the fruit trees over on the other side of these shipping containers, and we're going to be digging up thousands of perennials. We're going to be taking down plants from the raised beds, as some of you already been doing. That's greenleaf beds, and making a pile to be moved to Moondog. We want to make sure we take every last soil that we've been growing for the last 5 years. We're also going to be disassembling all the irrigation, digging out the hydrants. These are frost-free hydrants. We're going to be just digging around so we can shut the water off and take them to our other farms.
So we're Denver Homeless Out Loud. My name is Marcus. Me and these folks, we work on homeless issues directly with homeless folks. Most of us are homeless or formerly homeless, and we work on civil rights and housing issues. Sometimes our movements are way too divided, right? Like, I eat all organic food. I care a lot about gardening, but I live in the all-white neighborhood. That's what the developer here wants. The developer here is going to greenwash this development, and now he's going to build micro units, 500 square foot or less, $300,000 each. No low-income people can move into this project or the next block, which used to be public housing. And the history of homelessness in America was, my mom was in her 30s before she saw homeless people hanging out on the streets, and she wasn't an isolated person. Homelessness wasn't this mass problem. In the 1950s, in the 1960s, in the 1970s, then we started to deregulate our housing stock, along with our health care. We turned to the free market to provide our low-income housing, and we cut our affordable housing budget by 77% in 5 years. We've never refunded our affordable housing budget on a federal level, on a state level, or on a local level, right? So that's why we're fighting back. That's why we're taking this property. So this village that we're going to build here today, we're calling it Resurrection Village.
There was also this really great thing that Martin Luther King Jr. was up to right before he was assassinated, which is called the Poor People's Campaign, the Poor People's Economic Rights Campaign. And he was basically organizing across class lines, across gender lines, across like national and language barriers to unite people who were poor or of the lower class or struggling through poverty. And he was like looking across these lines to address the monster of capitalism and why people were in this economic situation. So what they were planning was an encampment on the Washington Mall to ask the federal government for more affordable housing and to lift people up out of the economic situation they were in. And that encampment was called Resurrection City. So while they were organizing this, King was assassinated, he was shot. And so not a lot of people know about the Poor People's Economic Rights Campaign because all of the media attention went to his death, unfortunately. His wife and another of his colleagues carried on the project afterwards, and they did do Resurrection City. They had 3,000 people camped out in the Washington Mall for 6 weeks till they were forced to leave. But it's not a very well-remembered chapter in American history just because it was overshadowed by King's assassination. So that's why we have named our village Resurrection Village, in order to draw on that rich history and to remember that no change has ever been brought unless people take it upon themselves to create the solutions that they want to have, even if it means risking pissing people off and going up against the powers that be. I'm actually an urban farmer myself and have like seen this sort of situation play out multiple times. Like the farmers, we're going to go over to their farm right now. They're called the Urban Farmers Collaborative. So in 2009, this land had been sitting vacant for 10 years because they tore down the housing projects on this block in 1999. So in 1999, they tore it down. And then in 2009, they invited the Urban Farmers Collaborative to do this pilot project called Sustainability Park, right? And Sustainability Park was this vision that some of the people, some of like the foodies and the regenerative and progressive environmental people in the Denver Housing Authority really wanted to see. So they invited these farmers in. They were like, yeah, you can have the land for 3 to 5 years. You can do your projects. And hey, maybe, you know, they really gave them a lot of promises about how much land they would be able to keep and whether or not it was going to be permanent. There was a lot of hope that Sustainability Park could really be a long-term like food forest and urban farm and an access point for fresh organic food for the people of Denver. So the farmers were really hoping for that from the beginning and really trying to advocate for that and trying to get the Housing Authority to support that. And the Housing Authority like said they did on paper. They also said they were going to build affordable housing. They said they were going to build affordable housing in the future, so the farms would probably have to move, but they could keep some of the land. But shocker, 2015 rolls around, and the Housing Authority is like, oh, psych, we're not going to build affordable housing here. We're selling it for $10 million, both of these city blocks. They're being sold. And now all those urban farmers have to leave. So right now, a lot of these volunteers are helping these urban farmers move out. They have to be off the land by November 30th of this year. And there's three different farms here. There's Greenleaf, there's Produce Denver, and there's Granada Farms. And each one kind of has a different mission and a different like relationship with the community. Like Greenleaf does a lot of education. Produce Denver does a lot of production for the Denver Public Schools. Granada Farms is like a regular little CSA that a lot of people buy from. And so the place that Produce Denver is moving to is called Moondog Farms. It's right down the street at 22nd and Tremont. And that's also owned by the Denver Housing Authority. And that's also a piece of land that's up for sale pretty soon here. It's really f***ed up because they were brought in as a gentrifying force in a certain way. Because the land was sitting vacant for so long. And Denver Housing Authority wasn't like looking so good in the eyes of the community after they evicted everyone and forced all of these low-income people off the land. So they decided they're going to bring in this sustainability park as like kind of a PR move, as a way to clean up their image and look more palatable in the eyes of the community. Oh, you know, we're growing food, it's sustainable, we're about food justice and food access. But they never had any plans to let the farmers stay here. They never had any plans to actually commit resources financially to this. They brought the farms in so that they could look good on paper and so that the land could appreciate in value, because this is a gentrifying neighborhood. So back in the day when they tore down those buildings, it was blighted, you know? Nobody wanted to live in this neighborhood. This was, I mean, nobody with money, like this was the hood. So it was a very strategic move to bring in the farms after they kicked out all the poor people, because that makes the neighborhood suddenly more palatable to upper middle class white interests because of all of the conversations around sustainability and urban farming. And it's hip and it's very sexy right now. So it's really whack because and I've seen this happen many, many times, and I'm sure other people have seen it in many other cities in America, where farmers basically get used like pawns on a chessboard. They get placed here and allowed to grow for a certain amount of time until that time that land is worth enough to sell, and then it gets sold out from under them. As an urban farmer myself, I'm realizing more and more that to be an urban farmer, you can't just want to grow food. Like, you have to get political. You have to be aware of how you're being pitted against all these other justice issues and playing into the plan that the owners of the land have. So it's just, it's a really interesting situation, and it's a really interesting intersection on this land. And that's why I think this action that we're doing is very potent at this time. In the Great Depression, there was this thing called the Bonus Army, which is like 43,000 veterans from the war. And they were homeless because of the economic conditions and because the federal government at that time wasn't funding affordable housing. And they set up a tent city on the Washington Mall and demanded affordable housing. And shortly after that, FDR came into power and passed the New Deal, which authorized funding, federal funding, to be allocated toward housing and urban development sector of the federal government, or HUD. So that was how they built all these projects in the 50s, the Curtis Park housing projects that housed hundreds of families here. And during Reagan's administration, from the 1980 to 1995, that budget was slashed by 77%. So the funds that were once available for public housing are nowhere to be found. And what we need is options. We need sustainable and alternative options for our people, because we cannot continue to survive in this competitive housing market as the rents continue to go up.
Audrey is currently without a place to live, and she talked about the plans for Resurrection Village.
So we're having two small Conestoga huts being put up here, two little houses. One of them is actually mine. So I think it's great because it gives me a place to go, and I think we're going to have it all in a horseshoe shape over here. So all this land back here is where we're going to have the tiny homes village, the commons area. We're going to have right where we're standing right now, right in front of us, there's going to be a kitchen area. We'll have a couple of stoves in there. We have some places that'll be bringing food in. All these people over here are actually working on the process of leveling out the land and putting up the houses. Does everybody want to wave hi? So yeah, that's the flooring to one of the houses. There's going to be another one going back over here, a few feet away. Back here in this area, they're actually putting up another panel house back here. Do you want to talk some more about what this one is?
Yeah. So this house that's going up here is a modular panel house that our friend Laura designed and helped us build. This is Laura. So we've been building this in a local backyard. We've been prefabricating it in these panels. So the design is like these 4x8 panels that bolt together to make the walls and the floor. And the roof panels are slightly more complicated, but also very modular, and comes apart in pieces and can be shipped on a flatbed trailer. So we've prefabricated all of this and then brought it to the park just this morning. And now it's going up. See, these folks are working on the foundation right here. Yeah, so we have that design. We have the two more Conestoga huts being built, and then one more coming in. So we're putting up a total of 5 houses here today. And there's more to come.
Also, up on this hill back here, we know some people who need a place are going to be coming. So we'll probably be putting some tents up there for them to stay in. Mm-hmm. And if they want a house, we may eventually have some more here as well.
Well, we want to put a lot of public pressure on and bring awareness. We want to bring awareness of the fact that this is public land. Like, DHA is a public entity. Denver Housing Authority has a responsibility to the people of Denver to steward public land for the public good. And what we're seeing is a privatization and a selling off of that land. Now, they're claiming, their excuse for doing that is that, oh, if we sell this land at a really high price, then we can have money to build affordable housing somewhere else, while simultaneously claiming that they have fulfilled their quota for affordable housing, even though the auditor's office estimated that they're like 26,000 units short for fulfilling the need for affordable housing in Denver. So it's really like they're selling it, but then they're not building more. It's pretty insidious and pretty corrupt. It's just, they're making a profit off of this, and who are they accountable to? So we want to remind them that they're accountable to the people of Denver and the communities that already live here, not the people that they want to bring in, not the people who want to move here, but the people who live here and who have lived here for generations.
We want to show the resilience of our community and say, okay, we can take those down the block and we can, move them into the next location. But it's also about us all coming together and envisioning, having this conversation, saying, wait a second, this isn't just about the gears of capital. This isn't just about, how the system functions. We actually have self-determination. We get to decide what our world looks like. We get to look at each other and say, okay, what do we actually want to see in this space, right?
Cool, so this is Violet's house that's going up. Awesome. And this is Audrey's house.
Okay.
Audrey, it's happening.
I've been homeless on the streets on and off for 6 years, and I got tired of not having a place to go. I didn't want to be on a 6-year waiting list, so I heard about this and I decided to support this, and now I've helped work at not only giving myself a place to go, but other people an idea of building themselves a place to go. So I also hope to build some more tiny homes, maybe post them up here or wherever, you know, there needs to be. I think we may have some stuff possibly going on in Longmont soon, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a tiny home campaign kind of starting up there a little bit, so I'm really excited, and I'm willing to build houses for that one, too. I mean, I would love to see so many people who are ending out up here at this moment outside right now because of the way rent is going up to just, you know, they don't have to worry so much. You know, this gives me a place to go and, you know, have my clothes. I didn't like running around and searching for interview clothing this week and then having to get up early and being at a job training. It was really, really frustrating to do while you're homeless because it's hard to go get a shower and stuff. So this gives me a place. I think I may have found a place to shower, so I have a place to keep my stuff and not, you know, worry about it being stolen or anything, because, I mean, if you have a stash spot outside, it's easy for your stuff, for somebody to find your stuff and just take it with them. And so you have to keep a close eye on your stuff if you're going to stash it. Otherwise, you're carrying backpacks and baskets and all sorts of bags on you, and you're basically carrying your house on your back. So this means more to me than anybody knows. There's a lot that people can do when they get together for one purpose, and it's really touching and meaningful.
How are you feeling right now?
Excited. Really, really excited. I can honestly say I built my own house. So
You're building your own house.
I did. We just have to put it together now. Oh, man. You don't know how much this means to me. I almost want to cry. But it feels good to, you know, I made my own place to go.
Later that evening, Denver Homeless Out Loud reported that 70 Denver Police Department and Denver sheriffs, including SWAT units and a helicopter circling overhead, descended on Sustainability Village and arrested 10 who were building the homes, including those whose voices you heard in this piece. They were charged with trespassing.
So some people are evacuating the park now. The odds of the police getting violent or arresting people is probably pretty high. So stay posted, y'all. This is Pat with Unicorn Riot signing off.
That was Pat Boyle of Unicorn Riot Media, who shared his footage with KGNU. In a press release to KGNU, Denver Homeless Out Loud said, "We will not give up. We will keep fighting to defend people's right to housing." Irene Rodriguez, KGNU, Denver.